SFMSports.net. On air, online, mobile, on demand.
We're not ready to go yet. Is there any way you can send this thing into overtime?
Yeah.
No problem.
I don't know what he was looking at, but we're going into overtime.
We got some new music here. Yeah, Overtime Live, week number six. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy studios. And we get an update on the scoreboard. Brought to you by Pratt & Boy Therapy Associates. Providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites. I thank Queenstown Bank for sponsoring the halftime show. And let's take a look at that Brett Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard update. Now, due to impending weather, and now I think across the mid-shore, we're getting a decent amount of rain. I know it started to rain that fourth quarter of the North Carolina-Stephen Decatur game, and it's raining outside of our studios in Easton. Some teams got an early start today. Kent Island and Queen Anne's being those two teams. Kent Island and Queen Anne's starting their games at 6 o'clock. And neither had much trouble with their opponents, and no surprise. Kent Island improving to 6-0 with a 44-0 win over Colonel Richardson, who drops to 1-5. Queen Anne's, they improved to 5-1, 41-14 winners over J.M. Bennett, who dropped to 41-14. Again, no surprise in either one of those games. Colonel getting their first win last week against Arcadia, Virginia. But you know, Kent Island, a lot better opponent than Arcadia. Cambridge South Dorchester on Hall of Fame Alumni Weekend, or Inductee Weekend, I should say. Doug Fleetwood among those going to be inducted this coming Sunday. Cambridge South Dorchester, no problem with Washington. 47-0 blanking. They improved to 5-1. Washington, after winning two straight, they dropped to 2-4. In our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights Game of the Week that we just wrapped up, Matt Spencer from Mark Potter and Coach Dale Beecraft. Stephen Decatur, and I did mention it in my blog, Stephen Decatur, I thought, could have a chance at winning either last week against Easton or this week against North Carolina. Now, last week, they lost 34-33 in overtime, and I thought maybe they blew their chance there because even though I made that initial prediction, I thought they blew their chance last week. I thought North Carolina was going to edge them out today. Well, it was Stephen Decatur that edged out North Carolina 31-26 in that one, giving Decatur their first win of the year. North Carolina drops to 4-2, and their schedule gets a lot tougher. In fact, next week, they take on the Easton Warriors. And speaking of the Warriors, head coach Matt Griffith joins us now on the hotline. And Easton today, if you want to call it an upset, 5-0 coming in against a 2-3 Wicomico team, though a very talented Wicomico team, but they lack discipline. They oftentimes are having trouble with their offensive line. Not necessarily the case today, but Easton, they fall to Wicomico 27-17. And Coach, thanks for joining us. You know, I expected that this game could have been an offensive shootout, but at halftime, it was just 3-0. You guys led. What happened in the first half there? Did the defense just come to play, or was it a lack of execution on offense?
I think, first off, Mike, that the weather was a little rough early on. Both defenses played very well, and we were fortunate to be up 3-0 at halftime.
So you got a decent amount of rain at the beginning of your game?
Pretty much throughout.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned, you know, it's a Wicomico team that is talented, but at the same time, over the last year and a half or so, and I blogged about this at OvertimeLive.net this past week, a real question mark because of the penalties and lack of discipline with them, that Wicomico oftentimes, you just don't know what you're going to get. And those were the same words that were spoken by their head coach, Pat McGlinchey, some 2 weeks ago. Second half, Coach, what changed? Obviously, a lot more scoring in the game. Did the weather hold off then at that point, or the rain subside at that point in the second half, make things a little bit easier for both teams?
No, not at all. It was pretty much continuous throughout. I think, you know, credit to Wi-Hi, they played well tonight. They outplayed us. They deserved to win. I think we ended up with three or four turnovers, and we had a botched punt early in the third quarter, game short field, and you know, some different things. They took advantage of mistakes that we made, and we weren't able to capitalize on some of their mistakes. We did get the passing game going pretty strong towards the end because we were behind and had an opportunity with two onside kicks. Couldn't come up with the ball.
Now, Coach, you mentioned turnovers. Were those in the air or on the ground?
You know, we had, I think it was three in the air. One of them was, you know, at the very end of the game when we were trying to, you know, desperation, get it down in the end zone before the clock expired. But The other two were not. The other one was coming off of a punt and ended up being turnover on downs, but we mishandled a snap in our own end zone. And, hindsight's 20/20, we take the safety there and then be able to kick off or punt and maybe be in a little better situation instead of giving the ball on the, I think it was about the 11-yard line.
So what happened there on the bad snap? I mean, you could have let it go in the end zone, or did it go in the end zone and somebody brought it out to the 11?
We just mishandled it. Our kicker thought he was trying to get rid of it, throw it away, and it ended up being incomplete, and they got the ball in the 11.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, so a mixture of different turnovers in the game. Now, you mentioned, Coach, that the passing game got going later in the game. Was it a little rough early in the game?
No, we dropped a couple balls in the first half. We didn't execute when we needed to. We had several drop balls, and then we had several misreads on a couple things that, make a difference early on that, put some points on the board for us in the first half besides the field goal.
Now, was this a different Wicomico team that you had seen on tape? Because you read the stories, and last week, for instance, they get the ball, they score on their first touchdown drive against Queen Anne's, go up 7-0, and then all of a sudden, I mean, it all collapses from them. I mean, they oftentimes, they'll go up early, they'll lead the game, they'll play well, and then it just, for whatever reason, things collapse. But today, was this a composed team, a team that didn't commit a lot of penalties, didn't have a lot of mental breakdowns?
They didn't. This is probably one of their better games that I've seen them play all year.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about it. I think everybody does when you're playing. They got a ton of athletes, a whole slew of backfield that can all run and break tackles. I thought our defense played their tails off for the majority of the game. They ended up getting a score late on us as, we were gambling, trying to get the ball back on a couple things.
Sure,
all in all throughout, I thought our defense played well. And, we held them in check the entire first half. And, we were even gave them the ball of short fields early on, like I said, with some miscues. And, credit to them. Like I said, they executed when they had to, and we did.
Nelson Brown, a guy that you know you have to shut down, but that's obviously a lot easier said than done. He had a 50-yard touchdown run to make it 20-10. At that point, did that end up kind of being the backbreaker for you guys?
I think it was 20-10. It was 20-17 then. And we had another chance, and then they put the other one in late. I think that was the one that broke the camel's back.
How did you felt like, I mean, Nelson Brown did have two touchdown runs. Outside of that, I mean, were you able to contain him at least, or did he have his way with your defense?
No, not at all. Like I said, the defense played well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tough kid to bring down. We had a lot of good hits on him in the backfield, several tackles for losses. When you wrap him up low and you gang tackle, everything worked out well. The two that I said that, he squirted out, one, we had a blitz on trying to make something happen late in the game, and he ended up bouncing it out and, took off, got down inside the one. The other one, we're behind the eight ball there late in the game trying to make something happen and took some chances, and we had a blitz on, hit him in backfield and missed him.
So, Coach, you take a look at this game, and, it's one thing to lose, but it's another game. Or it's another thing to have self-inflicted wounds put upon yourself, and I guess that's the frustrating thing. It's one thing if the other team just plays better or is the better team that day, but when you look back and say, if we had cut down on this, that, and the other and given ourselves a better chance, I guess not that you want any moral victories here with a loss, but at least you feel like you put your best foot forward in a loss. But I take it you didn't necessarily feel that way after this game tonight.
We did a lot of things later in the game that were good for us. The thing for Wyhye, like I said, they outplayed it. They did what they needed to do to win the game and made big plays when they had to, and credit to them. Not taking anything away from them. Like I said, they had a great game. Our miscues weren't the difference in the game. We had opportunities, and we didn't execute.
Coach, I would always say that it's never good to have a loss, but you certainly can take some good things out of a loss, and sometimes for the players themselves, it could be a wake-up call, and I'm not saying that's the case here with your team, but what's your philosophy on losses? Do you feel sometimes throughout the course of a season that a loss, though, can actually be very beneficial to your team going forward, or would you rather, I guess you'd still rather win ugly and learn from that, but what's your philosophy on a game like today?
Sometimes it can help find out a lot about your team, and, at different times, I think any coach would tell you they'd want to win every game, whether it's ugly or not. For us, we're going to find out a lot about my team. We're going to find out what we're made of and how we bounce back this week and get ready and prepare to play a very good North Carolina football team with good coaches and good players next week.
And both of the teams coming off losses, so it makes each team just a little bit hungrier as they chase down a W. Now, is that game in Easton, or is that back in Ridgeland, North Carolina?
We're home next weekend.
Okay, so that'll be nice home field advantage for you guys. And that I would think that'll be the game of the week next week, Easton hosting North Carolina in that one. Have you gotten a chance just through scouting some other teams to see North Carolina a little bit? And if so, what are your early impressions of the Bulldogs?
They're a very good football team. They got a lot of athletes. Their coaches do a great job coaching them up. We're going to have to play our best game to make it a dog fight. They got four really good running backs in the backfield, and they got a returning group of offensive line that understand the system. So we're going to have to do our part and play mistake-free football.
You mentioned the fact that your defense, for the most part, you thought played a lot better, and I thought that was something coming into this game. We talked about a little bit that I think the defense did need to shore some things up coming into the second half of the season. I guess when you face a stable running backs and Y High, and you feel like you did all in all a pretty good job against them, that's got to be good coming into North Carolina, who boasts, of course, Rodney Thomas and Kenny Jackson, and then they brought that freshman up who didn't actually play in the Stephen Decatur game tonight, which is surprising, but they obviously think highly of him. He had a couple of touchdowns last week. That kind of gets you ready for a team like North Carolina, doesn't it?
Similar offenses, there's some different things. Coach McCormick, he does a few things differently, but we'll prepare up for them and hopefully go out and give them a fight.
Yeah, both teams running the wing T, but of course they're obviously different versions of that. Well, Coach, I appreciate your time, and if you're still on the road, some safe travels back from Salisbury. I know it's raining across much of the Eastern Shore. Appreciate your time, and 5-1, we'll look to make it 6-1 next week in what should be an excellent game. Coach, thanks so much, and take care.
All right, thanks a lot, Mike. Take care.
All right, taking 957 on the OTL on 94.3 Winks FM and sfmsports.net. Overtime Live presented by Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, Easton Inn, and Suites, coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy studios. By the way, for those of you Oriole fans, top five. The O's are trailing, actually, 4-1 to Kansas City, and Alex Gordon triple clearing the bases to make it 4-1. And that one, Adam Jones with an RBI single of Nick Markakis to make it 4-1. So you heard Coach Griffith talk about the fact four turnovers, the weather in the first half affected both teams with the rainy weather. You had some drop passes, though. The passing game did come together late in the game. But Wicomico was able to take opportunities that were handed to him, take advantage of some opportunities handed to them by Easton, which is not necessarily something that they've done this year. And oftentimes they've found themselves down so much, the other team really hasn't given them that opportunity. But that is a big win for Wicomico. That's their first quality one against a Bayside North team, at least in the last couple of years, under head coach Pat McGlinchey. So that's a nice step for a Y High program. And maybe that's the game that turns the corner for them in terms of mentally. Now that they see that they can beat a quality Bayside North team, but they have to do it by seizing on the other team's mistakes, trying to minimize their own mistakes and get the job done. And this was a 3-0 lead for Easton at halftime, but they had a couple of late scores, one of which happened to be because of Easton's aggressiveness on defense, trailing at that point, wanted to try to force a turnover, understandably, but still they were able to seize on it. So Y High getting the win. They improved to 3-3. Easton drops to 5-1. And wow, what a game next week. North Carolina and Easton in Easton. That's going to be a very tough game to call. We've got a couple of days to mull it over, though. We'll think about it. All right, coming upon 10 o'clock here on the Midshore, 94.3 Winks FM. We'll stop down, come back, and look to get some of the more coaches around the Midshore after week number 6. Now, there's one game left to be played. That's tomorrow as Kent County hosts Parkside at 1:30. On homecoming in Wharton, and that's also going to be an excellent game of the week. You could probably have said that Easton Wicomico, even Stephen Decatur, North Carolina, even though Decatur's 0-5, you could say that there are three games of the week, but that ought to be a really good one in Wharton. I did online at overtimelive.net, I did go with Parkside in that game. I think it's the game that they finally go over the hump. They've been playing very well. Parkside, excuse me, at 1-4, very similar to an 0-5 Stephen Decatur team that came into North Carolina today and got the victory. I think that could happen again, but hey, you've got a Kent County team that has a healthy wide receiver in Tavon Thomas back. You've got a healthy Marquan Green at running back. It'll be very interesting to see how that game turns out. And for a 1A Kent County to try and get some 2A points with a win, that would be huge. And for you 1A teams, by the way, Havertah Grace, who lost to North Hartford last week, who's a 3A team, they lost again tonight to an undefeated Bel Air team. And I believe Bel Air is a 2A or 3A team. I don't think Bel Air is a 1A team. So for those 1A teams looking to try to capitalize on Havertah Grace loss now, second straight loss, well, there you have it. They fell tonight. All right, 10 o'clock straight up. We're back with more next.
WINXFM, St. Michael's Easton, a First Media station. Your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM.
Queenstown Bank is proud to sponsor the Overtime Live Halftime Show. We believe that teamwork along with social and leadership skills are what our youth needs in order to succeed. By supporting our youth in every way, from the sports they play to their academics, to ensuring they understand the importance of financial literacy, we are building leaders within our community. For more information on Queenstown Bank's new financial education program, Bank on Your Future, contact Holly Rhodes at 410-819-3089. Our children are our future. Queenstown Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
When it comes to imagination and ingenuity, Ben Franklin more than fits the bill. That's why Ben Franklin Crafts Easton fits the bill for all of your crafts and custom framing needs. They have everything you need to design, create, and embellish. All you need to do is provide imagination. Keep updated on Facebook. Ben Franklin Crafts Easton, Easton Plaza.
The game is over and the lights are off. But we're just getting started. It's back to Overtime Live
with Mike Bradley on 94.3 Winx FM.
All right, it's shade past 10 o'clock. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western. Best Western Plus, that is, Easton Inn and Suites. Sorry, I lost my place there for a second. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy Studios, 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net. Heading out on the coaches' line, it's head coach Brian Sofonowski of the Kent Island Buccaneers, who had an easy time of it tonight against Colonel Richardson by a score of 44-0. Kent Island improving to 6-0. Colonel Richardson drops to 1-5. But, coach, this is a Colonel Richardson team that played Queen Anne's to, I think, just a 10-3 game at halftime. So I know it's easy for some teams to overlook Colonel Richardson, but obviously you guys came out, you got the job done early on, and there was no looking ahead because you've got a pretty big game next week in Western Maryland, in Cumberland, that is, against 1A Power Fort Hill.
Yeah, you know what, we just stretched upon the guys, and as always, we don't care what their record is, and we said, look, our job is to come out here and put as many points on the board as we possibly can in the first half, and ensure, number one, that we win the game, but number two, also, to make sure our number twos and threes get in the game, because they deserve it, you know, and the more we mess around, the more that we don't take care of business in the first quarter in the first half. And I think away from those guys that have worked their butts off and not see the field. So that was our goal, was to put as many points on the board in the first half to ensure that our other guys got in the game.
And they obviously did a good job of it. Coach, who scored on the offensive end for you guys?
Oh, my goodness. I think Zach Goodrich had one rushing touchdown. Mm-hmm. Stone Boone had a rushing touchdown. Zach Smith had three rushing touchdowns.
Okay.
Justin Messersmith had a kickoff return for a touchdown. And Bert Strickengoss had a field goal, I think a 28-yard field goal.
All right, so contributions from a lot of people around. On the defensive end, did you have a couple of guys that maybe stood out in the effort today?
I think we had like six or seven sacks. They did a really nice job. We actually moved some guys around just because we just weren't liking the way things were going a little bit for us. So we moved Zach Smith to linebacker. We moved Zach Goodrich to the defensive end. I think Zach had a sack. James Conner had a sack. Zach Walkie had two sacks. James Stone had a sack from the other end, and you know, they did a really, really nice job. I think they got two or three first downs in the entire first half. So I'm really pleased with the way we played, and the second team defense played fantastic in the second half. They did a great job. They didn't give any points up. They didn't give any long runs up. So they did a really, really nice job.
Now, Coach, when you said that you changed some things around, was that from last week to this week, you mean, or just within the game?
That was from last week to this week. We just didn't like the way our linebackers were playing, and didn't think the DNs were getting enough pressure on the quarterback. And so we made some changes that we thought might mix things up a little bit, but at the same time, we had to put our best players in position to make plays.
I guess most people on the outside looking in would say, Coach, you're 5-0. Do you really need to make any changes? But obviously, you guys are inside the bubble, so to speak, and you're looking at tape constantly. And the biggest thing is you're at practice, too. And that's the difference between the coaches and, I guess, the fans, right?
I can make a lot of comments to what you just said. unfortunately, the dads and the fans don't watch the film, and they don't watch the Suns in practice. So we have to do what's best for the team. That's the one thing that people don't understand. You know, I got to worry about the entire team of 48 guys, not one person, no matter how many carries he gets or how many sacks he gets. I'm worried about the entire team winning. And our job is, I don't care 5-0. My job is to make sure that we put the best people on the field to make play. That's our job.
Yep. No, I'm with you. And I guess, too, when you're playing teams that you are more talented than, sometimes mistakes, or a lot of times often mistakes or deficiencies can be covered up that way. And that's, again, where you see a practice that you might say, well, yeah, we could get away with it here, but in a few weeks against a Fort Hill or against a Queen Anne's or against whoever it may be, we may not be able to get away with that. And that's why you make those kind of changes, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, quite honestly, I'm not too sure we're more athletic than anybody, but we just play together as well as a team. I mean, we are not faster than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We are, I mean, we're turtle slow almost. Watching our guys break open, we're not getting much more than a 15, 18-yard run. But the thing is, they're disciplined, they're focused, and they know what to do. I mean, Gertrude and Smith are doing a fantastic job leading the team right now, so. And the other thing is we're getting some great offensive and defensive line guys that are just taking charge and they're doing their job. So everybody on this team is doing their part and doing what's necessary to win.
Coach, let's look ahead next week, and I give you a lot of credit, and I wrote this in my What We Learned blog at OvertimeLive.net that I come out with every couple of weeks. You know, I commend Queen Anne's for playing Archmere Academy and Cambridge for playing Cape Henlopen, two very good Delaware schools. You guys have scheduled Fort Hill, a 1A power out of Western Maryland. I do the state championships. I broadcast the state championships, so I saw Fort Hill last year, and they remind me a lot of you. They're not flashy, but they're just solid, and they get the job done. And that's what they do. They just say, "Hey, we're not going to be flashy. We're going to be simple. We're going to take the Green Bay Packer mentality of the '60s with Vince Lombardi and get after it." I guess my question for you, though, not necessarily about the team, although I'll ask you that in a second. How do you replicate, though, the kind of experience that you're going to be going into in Fort Hill? I guess you could draw on that Middletown game a little bit, but I think, at least from what I heard, Fort Hill might be a little bit more ramped up than Middletown was. How do you get prepared from a atmosphere perspective for that game next Friday?
I don't know if we replicate the atmosphere. We don't stress about how good they are. I mean, same thing we do every week. I don't care if they're 0-6 or they're 6-0. I mean, we can. If we do that, then the guys will get either too hyped up or they'll start worrying about, can we do this, can we do this? We don't change our scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit there and start, blowing them out of the water about how good they are. But we stress that if we do what our job are, if we do what we do best, then we can compete with anybody. And that's our job right now. Our job is to say, fellas, if you practice hard this week, if you prepare for Fort Hill, it's going to be a heck of a game, and let's go after it. We're not going to change anything we've been doing. And then we did the same thing for Middletown, and we played them really tough in the first half.
You did. Yep.
So, look, we know what we're going into. So the guys, defending state champions, but you know what? It's another football team. And if we play our game of football, then we are going to do just fine.
Coach, in terms of travel, obviously that will be the longest trip, and I know you don't make excuses, but that will be a long trip. Are you trying to get there maybe a little bit earlier so that you can kind of walk it out and get adjusted instead of coming off the bus and only having, say, an hour before the game?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. We actually were just having the conversation. We're probably going to get there 2.5 hours early.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-hour bus ride. We just got to get off that bus and move around.
Right.
And, And we're going to stop over on the way there and have an hour walk through just to get off the bus a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. Yeah,
it's just something that we've got to do. But, yeah, we can't walk in there an hour, hour and a half before the game and say, let's go, because 3 hours on the bus, you just – I'll never use that as an excuse. But as a coach, I got to be let my guys get up the bus and get their legs moving a little bit and blood flowing.
I have to admit, I don't know the exact setup at Fort Hill in terms of the stadium and how close the fans are. I know at Middletown, what a stadium. That was awesome. The noise didn't impact you there, but is there anything you could do when I talk about replicating the atmosphere? Are you guys going to do anything to possibly practice for what could be a very loud environment that could be a little bit different than Middletown?
Yeah, it's funny. I've heard that their band plays the entire time while you're on offense.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're, no huddle. So we're going to have to, I'm thinking about having our band come out and play while we're doing offensive line, offensive drills. So
right.
They're used to the noise on the side. It's really, there's not much you can do about it. I'm going to have to start throwing some hand signals in there too, so our guys can see it rather than hear it. So that's going to be something we're going to have to move around with and work with this week. But for the most part, it's going to be a great environment. That's why we're going up there. And it should be a great game.
Most certainly should be. And I take it, knowing Ken Island and their support for the program, that you guys will probably have a busload going out to Western Maryland of fan support as well, right?
Yeah, we're hoping to. They're talking about taking a parent bus up and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully I get some good supporters out there.
Well, Coach, best of luck next week. That will be our game of the week, and I'm excited about it. I wish I could be up there, but I'm tied by chain to the studio by Mark Potter every week here.
So, Mark,
I know. I'd love to be up there, but again, I think this is great for the Bayside, and I hope to see more of this. I wrote earlier this week as well, I'd like to see the Bayside have some sort of relationship with the Henlopen Conference to try to get some non-conference games going continually with them, but also over on the Western Shore, whether it be Western Maryland or the Baltimore metro area, to try to have some partnership with some like teams of talent and size, etc., that you could work in some of those non-conference games and maybe more of them. That would be outstanding. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'd love to see it.
Oh my gosh, it's got to happen. If you're running if you're a 3A or 2A school, you should be going across the bridge or to Delaware to play games. There's no reason to drive 2 hours down south for a 1A school. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to the 2A, 3A school. We should be playing bigger schools. And sooner or later, hopefully, the Bayside will realize that and give every 2 and 3A school, and even the 1As, a couple openings that they can fill in with other teams from across the bridge or Delaware or wherever else. It's only fair for everybody, I think.
I agree, and if they want to make the conference better and help you guys out come playoff time, I think that would be a very prudent move to make for you guys to be able to be freed up and be able to play some more non-conference games. We'll have to see, but I'll keep beating the drum on that as best I can. Coach, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Again, best of luck next week. I think that's awesome that you're going out to Fort Hill, and look forward to hearing that game right here. If folks can't make it out, 94.3 Winx FM or online at sfmsports.net. Obviously, we don't carry that far west, so folks will have to listen to the online stream and via their smartphone on the TuneIn radio app, so they could do that, be at the game and listen to a local broadcast, though. That'd be pretty cool. Coach, best of luck, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Mike. Have a nice weekend.
All right, you too. Take care. 10:13 on the OTL, 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net. And we need your help. If you're attending a high school sports game, then we want your pictures and videos. Send them to us at overtimelive@goeaston.net or tag Mark Potter or Overtime Live in your Facebook pictures. And as I just mentioned, if you can't get enough of Overtime Live on the radio, or if you can't, I should say, get Overtime Live on the radio, like next week, if you're headed out to Fort Hill in Cumberland, Maryland, you can listen online, sfmsports.net, via your smartphone through the TuneIn radio app. Just download it and put in SFM Sports. You're good to go. And that'll be our game of the week next week. Going to be great. Pre-game at 6:45, kickoff at 7. All right, we'll go around more of the Bayside coming up on the OTL 10:14.
Queenstown Bank is proud to sponsor the Overtime Live Halftime Show. We take pride in supporting our local youth, whether it's in the sports they play, their academics, or understanding the importance of financial literacy. At Queenstown Bank, we think of it as investing in our future. For more information on financial education or information about the products and services we offer, stop into any of our 8 locations within Queen Anne's, Talbot, and Caroline counties. Queenstown Bank, proud supporter of our youth. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
When you have friends, business associates, or family visiting, you want them to stay at the best hotel. Best Western Plus Easton Inn and Suites is now the number one rated hotel in Easton, according to TripAdvisor. Best Western Plus Easton Inn and Suites also received the Distinguished Best Western Director's Award for excellent quality assurance. Plush accommodations, a friendly staff, and breakfast every morning awaits. To make a reservation, call 410-822-7100 or go to bestwesterneaston.com.
Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics offers a full range of diagnostic and surgical services that include orthopedic, joint replacement, spine, hand, foot, and ankle surgery, sports, and physical medicine. So whether you're a student athlete, a weekend warrior, or a homemaker, Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics has the solution to your ailments. Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics has locations in Easton, Cambridge, Salisbury, and Kent Island. Let Dr. Michael Ward and Dr. Dave Eakin get you back on track. Call their friendly staff at 410-770-9875 to schedule your appointment. That's Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics, proud supporters of Bayside Athletics.
It's the only show on the shore for all your Bayside High School football scores. Overtime Live
with Mike Bradley on Winx FM.
All right, 10-16, by the way, the O's trailing Kansas City 5-2, bottom fifth, game one of the American League Championship Series. Let's hope the Birds can get back into the game. With their bats, though, that's capable of happening. It looks like right now, though, they have bases loaded. It could be. All right. Well, we'll keep you up to date on that one. All right, joining us on the line is Cambridge South Dorchester head coach Jake Coleman, and a big weekend in Cambridge. You know, we talked with the coach last week about his appreciation and the program's appreciation and remembrance of the past and the foundation that was set for the current coaches and current teams that have played over the last couple of years. And always great to have a Hall of Fame alumni or inductees, in this case, come for the weekend and watch Cambridge go to victory against Washington and pretty easily by a score of 47-0. Coach, congratulations, and had to be great to have those kind of alumni and inductees out there at the game. And, again, a real tribute to Cambridge South Dorchester and the rich tradition of football history.
I appreciate that. You know, it was amazing. I mean, it was just so nice to see the appreciation for the people that were inducted. Obviously, Bill Buzik, Pat Chester, Doug Fleetwood, Gordon McWilliams, Grayson Hurley, Heidi McWilliams Stout, and the 1979 state championship football team. You know, just when you saw the appreciation on their face, you know, it's kind of been a 10-year process, believe it or not. And the ball's really got rolling here in the last 4 years. And, you know, it's all been worth it.
Coach, what led you to put this together? Because this was head started by you.
Well, you just want... You want the kids to know who these people are. You know, there was a kid that played tennis like 2 years ago, and I was talking to them, and they had no idea who Bill Buzik was. Mm-hmm. And I was saddened by that. I couldn't believe it. And obviously, you know, our football players, we try to tell them about the people that have been here before. And, you know, It's one of those things. We've got to recognize these people. The school is almost 40 years old and has had a very rich tradition of athletic success. And, you know, we've had some people that played in the World Series and the NFL, you know, in the Canadian League, professional golf, professional lacrosse player. You know, we've had people in all sorts of different avenues. And the kids really don't know about it. And I think that when you see those faces and names up on the board, that are framed up, and you know, it's going to get the kids wondering and you know wanting to know a little bit more about those people, and it's going to inspire them because they've seen people that have walked these same halls that have gotten to to great places, not just out of high school, but did great things in high school, and I think it would inspire some kids to say, you know what, I'm going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm going to, you know, maybe make some better decisions, or I'm going to work a little bit harder and just motivate kids.
I think the Star Democrat, and I'm paraphrasing here, in its preview of Cambridge it said something to the point or something to the effect of, you know, a bullseye on her back. Well, that's nothing new. And I guess for the kids to be able to explain to them of the rich history of the football program, that they understand why there's a target on Cambridge's back every year and why there's such high expectations because of the people that went before them and the success that a Doug Fleetwood and a Ryan Fleetwood, I believe it was, and others had over the years, that that at least explains why every team, when they play each week, they're aiming for you. And that's like their Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. And you want those kids to, grasp, that tradition of being the team that's targeted. And, there's a lot of good things that come out of it. I'm sure that, the teams that have had a lot of success lately in the different sports, take our Queen Anne's, Ken Allen. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you it motivates them because they know they're going to get everybody's best shot. And so they know they got to be just, that much better. And it just it's great. You got to use the tradition to your advantage, and it definitely can be a big advantage.
Coach, looking back now over the last couple of weeks with some of your victories, tonight Wicomico beats Easton. Stephen Decatur gets their first win against North Carolina, two teams that you defeated a few weeks ago. Those wins look even better now as we look back on what transpired tonight.
Yeah, very happy for those programs. I know, those coaches, I know Coach Knox especially, it's been tough. Me and him shared a couple words and thoughts after our game, and mm-hmm. I knew there was some frustration there, so I'm happy for those guys. And I know that, Pat McGlinchey he's said before, he doesn't know which team's going to show up.
Right.
And, it sounds like the right one did tonight. Congratulations to those guys. And, it's just it's a testament. It's nice. We get to pick up some bonus points. Hopefully it'll help us out a little bit, going forward.
Most certainly. A lot of guys getting involved tonight. I know I've got a few names. Trey Lake with a touchdown. Deshaun Elliott, a block punt return for a touchdown. Nate Lowe with a touchdown. James Smith, Trey Lake again. So a lot of different contributions there. Did you primarily run the football tonight, knowing that you could do that?
We had Nate two touchdowns, to Terry Wilson two.
Okay.
We were blessed. It sprinkled and sputtered a little bit and didn't really get hard till the fourth quarter. I don't know what the other situations were like around the Bayside, but we were able to run our offense and with no trouble at all.
Coach, talk to us about coming off the loss to Cape last week. Again, a tough non-conference opponent. Getting ready for this game and not looking ahead when you play Washington. It was a 1A game. Was that something you had to stress, or are the guys mature enough that you didn't have to make mention of any of that?
Well, I think what we did is we looked at that Cape and Lopen game, and we said, hey, they didn't run us off the field. What's the difference between them and us? And, first thing people would say, well, they're a lot bigger than you. But, we definitely competed and gave them a great game. So, we looked even closer. And it was just really about our technique at the smallest level, that's what we talked about. I felt like they were better than us, at the smallest things. And I felt like, we could beat them. I'm not saying we would beat them every time, but I feel like we can beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids looked at the film and they took a, grasp of it. And so this week, obviously we installed in our game plan for Washington, but we really refocused on getting better at the little things, especially the little things that we weren't as good at before, when we played Cape and Lopez. So, playing someone that good and then, playing them really, really tough and, definitely, a big play here or there, and the game's even closer. And, I think our kids really took grasp of that. And, they came out today. And, you kind of get that mindset. When you play someone like Cape, I don't know what they're ranked right now, but, they're definitely one of the better teams, in the Henlopen Conference mm-hmm. in Delaware. When you play a team like that tough, you kind of look at, the next team. And a lot of kids, mentally they're like, all right, is the guy that I'm facing this week as good as the guy I faced then? And if the answer is no, then they have a lot of confidence going into that game, especially if they fared well against someone, that of the likes of the Cape and Lopen players.
Coach, who do you guys have next week?
James and Bennett.
Okay, and is that on the road?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. All right, and Bennett falling to Queen Anne's by score 41-14. They've been besieged by injury this year, but anytime you go on the road, you know, you can't take anything for granted. They've got some guys, some playmakers there with Jacob Larmore at quarterback and Michael Jean Charles and a couple of other guys. So we'll see how things turn out. Well, Coach, best of luck. Enjoy the weekend. I think it's a great thing you're doing Sunday, right? You've got the Hall of Fame induction on Sunday?
Yeah, if you don't mind, Sunday, 5 o'clock, American Legion. I thank you for the opportunity to let me plug that. Again, mm-hmm. You know, anybody that played or just wants to come out to a great local event, you know, supporting our own. It's $20 for dinner. It's a chicken dinner, and it's done by Mrs. Kitty. And if you're a phone camera, you know exactly who Miss Kitty is. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to show these people how much we appreciate them. And it's just going to be first class all the way. It's a formal dinner, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, again, 5 o'clock at the American Legion Sunday.
All right, Coach. Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks for all you do.
All right. Thanks. Take care. 1025 on the OTL, 94.3 Wings FM and sfmsports.net. I really think that that's something, and I don't know that other high schools don't do it, but I haven't seen it publicized. I think to have a Sports Hall of Fame and to induct members each year, or if anything, even if you don't have that, to let your kids know about the history at your school. And not every school necessarily has a great history, and in some cases you're looking to write history for the first time. But either way, it's good for the coaches to let the kids know about the history of the program. And I know, having followed high school sports, I guess I started to get into it when I was 12, 13. I loved going through the Baltimore Sun and taking a look at all the teams, and at the end of the year, taking a look at the all-conference teams, the AP teams that get picked. And I certainly remember Cambridge South Dorchester being one of those teams that I read about on the Eastern Shore, being a Western Shore guy, though, and reading about them and that program. And that's always been a very good 1A program. It's been a great 1A program under Doug Fleetwood, and Jay Coleman's done a very nice job in continuing that. And I'm sure he wants to get a championship before all is said and done. And I know last year they had a great team, and unfortunately came up a little short to Douglas of Baltimore City. But you got to think, when all is said and done, that he's probably wind up getting a title himself, as they seem to have very talented teams each and every year, and some good coaching staffs certainly play a big part of that as well. All right, the Orioles, by the way, they have come back and made it a one-run game to make it 5-4 right now, top of the sixth inning. We'll keep you up to date on that. Hey, we've got a lot more coaches we're at least going to try to track down here. It is Overtime Live on 94.3 Winks FM and sfmsports.net. Did want to let you know that next week, our game of the week, Ken Island travels to Fort Hill out in Cumberland, and we will have it here, 6:45 pregame kickoff at 7 o'clock in a non-conference affair. Going to be a great one. Well, you know, Paula's Fine Jewelry is back to reward one lucky coach from the North Bay side. Each coach that participates this year will be entered into a drawing to become the Overtime Live Coach of the Year. The winner receives a $500 gift certificate to Paula's Fine Jewelry in Chester. All right, more to come. 1027 on the OTL, 94.3 Winks FM, sfmsports.net.
Oh, the aroma of that fresh homemade bread and sauce. That's what you get when you make a trip to Roberto's Pizza and Italian Restaurant, Marlboro Road in Easton. If you want real homemade pizza, subs, and Italian dishes, then you want Roberto's. Roberto uses only the best cheese, meat, and flour, and the results are incredible. For a mouth-watering meal, stop by and check out Roberto's Pizza and Italian Restaurant's new lunch and dinner specials. For dining in or carrying out, make it Roberto's Pizza and Italian Restaurant. It's not too late to call Roberto's now, 410-770-3500.
The Preston Autoplex is uniting for a cure. Choose from acres of new Fords, Lincolns, Mazda, Nissan, Hyundais, and plus there's hundreds of pre-owned vehicles too. Get discounts and rebates totaling up to $12,000, or choose finance rates as low as 0% on over 2,000 vehicles in stock. Show your support during Breast Cancer Awareness Month at the Preston Autoplex.
Buy a vehicle and we will make a $50 donation to the American Cancer Society. Plus you'll get a pink frog.
Only at the Preston Autoplex or online at PrestonMotor.com.
Cars cost less in Preston.
Queenstown Bank is proud to sponsor the Overtime Live Student Athlete of the Year. We believe that teamwork, along with social and leadership skills, are what our youth needs in order to succeed. By supporting our youth in every way, from the sports they play to their academics, to ensuring they understand the importance of financial literacy, we are building leaders within our community. For more information on Queenstown Bank's new financial education program, Bank on Your Future, contact Holly Rhodes at 410-819-3089. Our children are our future. Queenstown Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Doc's Downtown Grill is your new destination for lunch or dinner. Doc's Downtown Grill has 7 big screen TVs, so you won't miss a single football game. You want to watch the Big Ten or SEC game? No problem. Doc's has them all. Plus, Doc's has the college game plan package, too. Like the NFL better? Doc's has every NFL game offered. Wear your Redskins or Ravens game day gear to Doc's on Sundays, and you could win some great prizes. Take advantage of Doc's touchdown menu during every game. Drink specials, plus food specials that include wings your way for just $6. Doc's Downtown Grill, your new destination for food, fun, and football.
Matt, look out for that skunk!
I didn't even see that until you said something.
Here, try these.
What a difference. No glare.
That, my friend, is the Costa 580 polarized lens from an Optical Galleria. They are a Costa RX dealer, so you can get a Costa with or without prescription. An Optical Galleria has an in-house lab if you want to use your frame. They can fit you with the Experio polarized lens for the best vision under the sun. They're in Centerville and West Ocean City. Stop in and see the difference. 443-262-9415.
If it's Friday night, it's Overtime Live on 94.3 Winx FM.
All right, 10:30 on the OTL, 94.3 Winx FM. Also worldwide and streaming at sfmsports.net. You can also download the TuneIn Radio app and listen that way on your smartphone. And for those of you heading out to the Western Shore to Fort Hill, Cumberland, next week for that game, you can listen to a local broadcast while being at the game. Or if you can't make it and you're traveling around and for some reason you have issues with your radio, you can listen that way. Taking a look at your Brett Moy Therapy Associate scoreboard. Brett Moy, providing physical therapy and sports care at the AAMC building on Kent Island. Kent Island improving to 6-0, 44-0 winners over Colonel Richardson, who drops to 1-0. Queen Anne's improving to, 1-5, that is. Queen Anne's improving to 5-1, 41-14 winners over Jay Bennett, who drops to 2-4. Cambridge South Dorchester, they improved to 5-1 with a 47-0 blanking of Washington. And Washington dropping to 2-4. It was Wicomico improving to 3-3. Easton dropping to 5-1. Wicomico over Easton, 27-17. Also getting word that Snow Hill, and I was able to jot down the score as we're talking on the phone with the coaches and making some notes and things like that. Snow Hill did lose to Arcadia tonight. It was a rather big margin that, Nandua, that is, defeated Snow Hill by a rather big margin. Just trying to find that. We'll get that in a second for you. But anyway, Snow Hill falls. Tomorrow, don't forget, in what's going to be a really good game, I think, Kent County hosting Parkside and Wharton on their homecoming kickoff at 1:30. It's worth heading out to that game, no question about it. One of the games of the week and our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week, North Carolina hosting Decatur on homecoming. And Steve Decatur, Coach, we talked about this team. I know you emphasized it to your team this week. The best 0-5 team probably in the state of Maryland coming into this game. And the record not necessarily reflective of how talented they are and a game that they could give you. And unfortunately, they were able to get the win. I know I predicted that they'd either get a win last week or this week, and unfortunately it came at the hands of your guys.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the prediction.
Sorry about that.
I tell you what, Bobby Knox has been down there at Decatur for, 30-some years now. He does a great job with those kids. Freddie Billings, Stan Griffin's down there. They have great coaching staff, and they flat out outcoached us tonight, outcoached me. I thought our kids played hard. We didn't necessarily play great. We made some mistakes. But we got outcoached, and that's on me. And, I can't allow that to happen. And, it's what it is. Unfortunately, it came on a night for our homecoming, and, we're going to have to rebound. We're going to have to work and try to get ready for next week.
Now, Coach, when you say you got outcoached, was it the fact that you were unable to stop quarterback Justin Meekins and they were able to find different ways to spring him loose against your defense?
Yeah, every time we'd make an adjustment, they'd come up with something new, and we were having a hard time matching some of their adjustments. And, they just did a good job. They had a good game plan defensively. They had a great game plan against us. We couldn't get our running backs rolling in open space. That also comes back to us, comes back to me, and we just need to try to figure out a better way to do things to give our kids a better opportunity to have success. And I give Bobby and those guys a lot of credit. They did a great job tonight. His kids went very well tonight. They were sharp. They didn't make mistakes, and they got a win.
Now, Coach, when you talk about some of the adjustments that they made to your adjustments, were there some things they did offensively that you had not seen on the tape?
There were a few things. A lot of the things they started doing towards the end of the game are things that they had done on tape with a few little variations, little adjustments that they've made just for us. But, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, you know, their kids played well. They had a good game plan. And you know, unfortunately, we just couldn't get it done. We couldn't stop that quarterback. He's a good runner.
Yeah, Justin Meek.
The kid throws a decent ball. You know, he's a, you know, from what I'm hearing, he's a heck of an athlete. He's gone to Maryland on a baseball scholarship.
Yes.
I think he's a shortstop. And, yeah, the kid's smooth. You know, he's just in control. He's smooth. He doesn't panic. He's patient. And he picked his part.
Now, again, you talked about some things that they counter with. Obviously, coming into the game, though, taking a look at their offense running through him, he's the guy I would have taken that, number one, you were looking to stop, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we knew, you know, we had to stop the quarterback. Him running and throwing is a threat. You know, he does both very well. We also knew that they had a couple of decent wide receivers that we were concerned about, number 8 and number 85. So, you know, that was kind of our focus. We just, you know, I think we made some adjustments on the passing game. We were able to handle that pretty well. And we didn't give up any big pass plays, a couple little dinks here and there. But thought we did a good job on that. We just couldn't figure out a way to stop the quarterback.
Yeah, Coach, I was going to say in previewing this game, and I did go with the Bulldogs. I thought Decatur squandered their opportunity for their first win last week against Easton. But I thought that the key to this game would be preventing any major plays in the passing game against Stephen Decatur, knowing that the secondary is an area that may not be your strength, per se, as compared to the front seven, and that Decatur can throw the football and had 4 touchdown passes in the first half last week against Easton. But, yeah, you guys did do a good job about that. But I guess, conversely, where you guys didn't give up the big pass play, for the most part, they didn't give up a big run play to your stable running backs there, which is pretty talented.
Yeah, you know, they did a very good job of containing us. You know, we didn't get any big run plays. We had a couple nice pass plays that we finally got loose on, but you know, they did a pretty good job. You know, and look, you know, we were playing on a short field. We got our special teams with our kickoff team that was killing us tonight, and so we're gonna have to make some adjustments on that. I don't know how many times we score and kick off, and you know, they're starting inside our 40, one time down on the 5. I mean, you just can't play defense with your back to the wall where it's 4-down territory the whole time and give your kids an opportunity. So we're going to have to figure some things out with that. We're going to have to figure out how we can get guys out of the box. I think, you know, Decatur had 10, 11 guys in the box on us. And, you know, we that's my job to figure out how we can give our kids an opportunity to have success without guys loading the box up on us. So, you know, we got some work to do. I'll sit down tonight and watch the tape and, you know, figure it out tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when you get 10 or 11, I guess you definitely have to spread teams out, try to throw the ball a little bit, or at least give the appearance that you're throwing the ball. But that's all a part of the job that certainly you have to do, and keeps things interesting, no question about it. Coach, 4-2, and you certainly, and this game was no gimme, obviously. Stephen Decatur, we knew that they were a much better team. Next week, though, the task doesn't get any easier. You now have to go on the road against Easton, and you've got a couple other games coming up, Queen Anne's being one of them, before a couple of games at the end of the year. I don't know if you've had a chance to see Easton on tape preparing for other opponents, but your early thoughts on the Warriors?
They're talented. You know, the Mone kid, the Fornaroy kid, you know, they have some kids that can get after them. I know they have a couple of big wide receivers. They like to spread teams out, which is pretty much what Decatur did to us tonight. Mm-hmm. And then they come at you. You know, they spread you out, make you get guys out of the box. And then they try to get the quarterback and that fullback loose. So we're going to have to figure out some things to try and slow those kids down. And then we got to figure out a way that we can get some points on the board. So, yeah, they're scary. You know, we watched them last week against Decatur. You know, fortunately, we played Thursday night, so we got to go to that game. You know, they do some things very well. They got a lot of speed, and you know, they get things moving. They try to get guys spread out. They try to get you moving, and, you know, those kids can make some plays quick. So.
Now, tonight, Easton, they fall to Wicomico by a score 27-17. It was a game filled with a lot of rain to begin with, but also a lot of turnovers. 4 turnovers by Easton in that game. But Jalen Mone, who you referenced, did have 77 yards rushing. And I would assume, as you just talked about, similar type offensive attacks. I don't know that they run the zone read option as much, but similar attacks where they will run the football as Decatur did tonight. So obviously Easton's going to be looking at that tape and looking to maybe pick some things out of Steve Decatur's playbook, I would assume, for next week.
Yeah, well, and hopefully we can pick some things out of Wyhye's playbook and
sure.
See what they did to have some success against these guys, you know, stopping them on offense and putting points on the board. So, you know, it's part of the game. It's what we got to do. And, you know, we got our work cut out for us. We'll see what happens. But, you know, we still got a good group of kids. You know, we got beat tonight. It's what it is. We didn't play well. We didn't coach well. And, Yeah, we're just going to have to pick ourselves up on Monday and get back to work, try to focus, come up with a good game plan, and give our kids an opportunity.
Coach, I know you'd never use this as an excuse, but I was asked a question. With it being homecoming week, was it difficult for the kids to focus on this game, especially with a Decatur team that was 0-5 coming in?
Yeah, no, you know, I thought we had pretty good practices. I thought we focused well. We just, you know, like I said, we weren't especially sharp tonight, and I didn't do a very good job coaching. So, yeah, that's on me. You know, the kids, I think the kids played hard. It's homecoming week, but, you know, homecoming comes every year, and, you know, you just got to work through it. And, you know, we just didn't have a good game tonight.
Well, Coach, I appreciate your time, as always, and your candor. Head Coach James McCormick of the North Carolina Bulldogs, they fall tonight to Stephen Decatur, 31-26. They're back on the road next week at Easton. And, Coach, I think if it weren't for Kent Island going out to Fort Hill, that would probably be our game of the week. But as you can understand, those kind of games don't come along often. So we've got a season.
Go out and have a good time on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I won't be there, but Mark Potter and Dale Beecraft will be. So we'll keep everybody up to date, though, of course, on your game, which we're looking forward to as well. Coach, thanks so much, and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
Take care. 10:40 on the OTL. Wow, we're getting it's going flying by. But that game, our game of the week, went a while. It went fast in the beginning, and then all of a sudden it slowed down quite a bit. Update for you on the O's game, 5-4, bottom of the sixth right now. Very much in that game. We'll see if they can battle back and erase Kansas City's deficit. All right, more to come. Not a whole lot more, but more to come here on the OTL 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net. And don't forget, we need your help. If you're attending a high school sports game, then we want your pictures, videos, send them to us, Overtime Live at goeaston.net, or tag Mark Potter or Overtime Live in your Facebook pictures. Keep it here.
Paula's Fine Jewelry is a full-service family jewelry store specializing in jewelry, keepsakes, and gifts for the whole family. At Paula's, you'll find quality certified diamonds, sterling silver, charms, diamond and gemstone jewelry, and pearls, as well as designer and sports jewelry. Paula's Fine Jewelry offers custom jewelry design, on-premise jewelry repair, and appraisals by appointment. For the best quality from your hometown jewelry store, stop by Paula's Fine Jewelry at 1607 Postal Road in Chester. Paula's is open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6 until 2 on Saturday. Call Paula's Fine Jewelry today at 410-643-8045.
U.S. Heating and Air is growing, and we're looking to add more HVAC technicians to our team. Must be licensed, have a good driving record, and clean background. U.S. Heating and Air offers great pay, great benefits, and company vehicle. So call 410-819-USUS for more info. If you're an HVAC technician, come grow with the U.S. Heating and Air team. Call 819-US-US. Need a plumber? Call Roto-Rooter Plumbing and Drain Service. Servicing Delmarva for over 30 years, they are the original Roto-Rooter that you can count on. Whatever your plumbing or drain service needs, they can fix it. Give them a call at 888-EDS-ROTO. That's 888-EDS-ROTO. Or check them out on the web at edsroto.com. When you hear this jingle, you'll know it's the real Roto-Rooter.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
When it came to imagination and ingenuity, Ben Franklin more than fit the bill. That's why Ben Franklin Crafts Easton fits the bill for all your craft and custom framing needs. We've got everything you need to design, create, and embellish. All you need to do is provide imagination.
Are you ready for some football?
Stop in and see our expanded Ravens and Redskins department. Flags, signs, power decals, and more. Great for that diehard NFL fan. Don't forget, fall and Halloween are in full swing. Check out our largest selection of Halloween decor ever. Daily specials on Facebook, Twitter, and Foursquare. Ben Franklin Crafts Easton, located in the Easton Plaza.
The Edge Training Academy is a one-stop shop specializing in speed and agility for student athletes, but we also offer a very wide range of activities for people as young as 2 years old, all the way through full adult age classes. The motto here we go by is where passion meets performance.
Rest.
What it takes to be the best is within you, okay? Every individual is equipped with something that is innate. It's there, okay? You just got to dig at it. You got to find it. You got to polish it. And really, that's what we're here to do.
Come get the edge in the Chesapeake Bay Business Park, nice. Stevensville. Call the Edge Training Academy at 443-249-3133. Nice. Or see us on the web at theedgetrainingacademy.com.
You're listening to Guy Talk, live from the Sport Clips Haircuts locker room. Caller, you're on the air.
My girlfriend beat me playing one-on-one.
Ooh, sounds like you need to hit up a Sport Clips for an awesome haircut experience and some quality man time.
I don't know. My girlfriend always takes me to her salon.
Nonsense. Be your own man and get a great haircut in a guy-friendly place from stylists who know what guys need.
You may be right.
Sure I'm right. Now grab your Y chromosome, get down to Sport Clips, and ask for the MVP. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
Sport Clips, located in the Thompson Creek Mall on Kent Island, and proud sponsor of Overtime Live's Player of the Game Award.
It's the only show on the shore for all your Bayside High School football scores. Overtime Live
with Mike Bradley on Winx FM.
All right, 1044. In fact, we're the only show in Maryland on game night for high school sports. By the way, bottom six, the O's have tied things up at 5 apiece. How about that? After being down 4-0 at one point. Well, joining us on the line, head coach Pat McGlinchey of the Wicomico Indians. Winners today, 27-17 over Easton. And, Coach, you know, first time having you on this year, and appreciate you taking some time for us. And, Coach, I know you and I have talked quite a bit about the atmosphere at Wicomico with the players, with the program, in terms of trying to become more disciplined, mentally tough. And you admitted a couple of weeks ago you didn't know what team you were going to get week to week. We did see you go into Cambridge, get down 21-8, come back, unfortunately lose at the end on a Trevor North field goal, 24-22. And you think maybe your team could build on that. You go up 7-0 against Queen Anne's in the first quarter, and you feel good about things, and then all of a sudden things fall apart, and Queen Anne scores 32 straight points. So from an analyst's point of view, and I guess from a coach's point of view, again, it's a roller coaster ride. But tonight you come out and get a win against a quality Bayside North team. Is tonight the kind of game that could maybe turn the corner for a program like that and get you guys on a consistent basis in terms of performing at the level that you know they can?
Yeah, I really truly believe that it is. You know, the biggest thing is, you know, I've been focused on discipline with penalties and everything, and really at Kent Island we were very, very undisciplined. And, you know, I say over the last 3 weeks our penalties have gone way down, but discipline comes, it's not just a penalty thing. It's also your offense, your defense, your special team. And tonight, I mean, we really were disciplined in all phases of the game. And we kept it close with Easton, and we really were able to shut them down in the first half. They scored late, a field goal right at the time expired in the first half, and we're up 3-0. But I felt like we were in the game. Our defense was playing with them very well. And our offense was still, we just kind of shooting ourselves in the foot on second downs. And I knew if we could just maintain and stay disciplined and drive our feet when we block, run our feet when we block, that we were going to be able to score touchdowns.
And, Coach, I mean, you've got talented guys there. I mean, I know that anytime you're playing at Queen Anne's or Kent Island and you do get down early, I know it's easy to kind of hang your head, and we're talking about high school kids here. I get that. But it's not like these kids don't have a dearth of talent to them, a guy like Nelson Brown, et cetera. I guess it surprises me a little bit that you see that inconsistency from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, like Nelson Brown last week, I mean, as bad as we played bad last week, defensively, tremendously bad. And Nelson had 13 carries for 186 yards and a touchdown last week. So, I mean, it's nothing that – it was like one guy on the offense every play would mess up. So, I mean, that's where the discipline and the lack of focus that we needed to really achieve. And I felt like we had it for a half at Cambridge, and I felt like defensively we had the whole game this week. Offensively, we had it for half a game. Special teams, we had it for the whole game. So I really believe that, you know, we are building week to week. we had a letdown week last week. I really believe that, you know, this win shows them if we do what the coaches are asking us to do with our athletic ability, we can win football games.
I was going to say, I guess it all comes down to W's, and at times you could preach, but if it's got to translate into W's before sometimes the kids buy in, although it's, well, we'd have those W's if you bought it initially, but you take a look at a game like tonight, and again, I would think that would be a building block, but I guess it's only as good as your next game, though. If next week it doesn't turn out that way, then you're almost back at square one.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, you know, we got to come out next week, and I told them in the huddle at the end, you know, they were really excited, and I said, you know, enjoy it. It was our homecoming. It rained on us, so we didn't have a huge fan base out there tonight, but, you know, there were a lot of supporters there, and I said, enjoy the win, you know, enjoy your homecoming dance, but know this, you know, Saturday morning we do our film and stuff, and they're going to be in there. We're going to be focused on Decatur because, I mean, I heard Decatur won tonight.
So, they did.
I mean,
yes.
They're a quality coach team, too, and I mean, and we know that we're going to have to bring our A game to beat them as well.
Is that game in Berlin or in Salisbury?
It's in Berlin.
Okay, so you're at Stephen Decatur next weekend. Coach, last year was a very difficult year for the Bayside South. I still call them Bayside South, Bayside North. Difficult year for the Bayside South outside of Stephen Decatur. This year, Decatur starting out at 0-5. They get their first win tonight, but a much better 0-5 team, though, than what the record indicated. Parkside has obviously made a lot of progress, leaps and bounds there. You take a look at you guys, 3-3, a big win tonight. So it looks like, you know, Snow Hill's in rebuilding mode. We know that. And J.M. Bennett's been besieged by injury. But it looks like at least three of the teams in the South are making steps forward from last year.
Yeah, you know, the Bayside South and we're going to have up years and down years, and, I mean, that stuff comes and goes. And teams like Queen Anne's, Cambridge, Kent Island have built quality programs over the years, and they've made it last. And, you know, that's the goal. You want to create a disciplined football team that no matter what athletic talent they have, they are going to win year in and year out. And so, you know, that's the goal. I've seen Kent Island, I've seen Queen Anne's. They've done it year to year. Cambridge has done it year to year. And I just believe that we can do it, too, and I believe that, you know, Parkside, and it's funny enough, the Parkside offensive coordinator works at Y High now. He just got hired as a guidance counselor, and I've been sitting and talking with him, of course, not about X's and O's or anything, but, you know, we talk about things, and it's actually nice to hear, you know, even though they're a big rival and everything. So, you know, I'm looking forward to them going up to Kent County tomorrow. You know, I feel like they can pull off a big win up there. I know Kent County's been down a little bit with injuries and things, but Parkside is a quality offensive program, and their defense comes hard. And, you know, I know a lot of their kids, and those kids they get after it, and they work hard in the off season. So, you know, I'm going to pull for our Bayside South teams, and I still look at it as Bayside South, too, and Bayside North.
Yeah, and certainly when the Bayside South is better, it makes the whole league better. We know that the lion's share of success over the last couple of years has come from the North, not necessarily from the South. But it's always good when the South is winning as well and making it competitive, and that's what you want to see, because it only makes everybody better for the playoffs for those teams that do get there and can build upon getting to the playoffs the following year. Well, Coach, congratulations on the win tonight, a big win, and hopefully that'll be something that can springboard you guys in the next coming week. And some interesting games coming up. You guys playing Stephen Decatur, and also you guys playing Parkside, and Stephen Decatur playing Parkside. So there's some interesting games to come here down the stretch of the second half of the year, and we'll certainly be in tuned into all of it. Well, Coach, congrats. Best of luck to you next week, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Take care. That's head coach Pat McGlinchey of the Wicomico Indians at 10:52. Take a look at your Brett Moy Therapy scoreboard. Kent Island over Colonel Richardson, 44-0. Queen Anne's over J.M. Bennett by a score of 41-14. Cambridge over Washington, 47-0. Wicomico over Easton, 27-17. Stephen Decatur over North Carolina, 31-26. Snow Hill falling to Nandua by a score of 42-16. Been a rough week for me. Tomorrow, Parkside's on the road at Kent County. Been a rough week in terms of picks. Now, I went with North Carolina, even though I said I thought that Stephen Decatur would win either last week or this, and they did, but I thought they blew their opportunity last week. They didn't. I don't know about these Eastern Shore Virginia teams. They baffle me. It's tough to figure out sometimes. Nandua all over Snow Hill. I really did want to go to Nandua, or not go there, but pick them. Of course, you're probably saying, oh, now you're saying that. No, I did. Scout's honor on that one. But Wicomico, they needed to prove it to me. It's never been about the talent, but it's applying the talent that they have and consistency, and that's still a battle that they're having there with the players, but they were able to overcome it tonight. And again, we'll see if that springboards these kids for next year. Excuse me, for the second half of the year, that is. No surprise with the Cambridge win, Queen Anne's, or Kent Island with their wins as well. Tomorrow, got to go with Parkside in that one. I just feel like they're going to get over the hump. They've had a lot of close losses. It's a much improved team. I think athletically they can handle Kent County's offense in the passing game. And Parkside, you can't turn the ball over. Parkside's going to need somebody else outside of Devin Redding, that is, and Juwan Williams to step up for them. No question about it. They're going to need a third or fourth guy, a couple other guys on offense to step up. But I think they can go up there and get the job done, just like Stephen Decatur did tonight. We'll see. You know, if you're Kent County, you'll take a look at this game and, oh, we have homecoming just like North Carolina did. And we're playing a team that's almost similar record to Stephen Decatur with a 1-4 Parkside team that's come up short but played well. It's a very similar circumstance, so they certainly have to watch it and be attentive and be on their game as they get into action tomorrow, wrapping up week number 6 in the league. And don't forget, or what we learned, I typed that up every couple of weeks and posted to OvertimeLive.net. A lot of stuff there. I spent a ton of time posting it there. And even though we're through with week 6, you can still learn a lot of stuff from the first half of the year by going there. And you know, one of the things I did write about was why Comico and head coach Pat McGlinchey and the discipline and mental toughness issues that they've had. And I thought I needed to bring that to light. They certainly proved me wrong tonight, but it's still going to be an uphill battle. They've got Stephen Decatur next week, and that's going to be no easy feat. On the road, can they get it done? They're going to have to be disciplined, just like Stephen Decatur is. All right. That's going to do it for us. We got to wrap things up. It's getting late. Folks are watching the O's game, and best of luck to the O's. They are tied up at 5 apiece going into the top of the 7th inning right now. Good stuff. All right, we're back next week. 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff. Kent Island in a non-conference affair. They travel to Fort Hill. Maryland 1A Power, defending 1A champions. Should be a good one. I know Kent Island's not going to go up there intimidated, but it's the atmosphere that they're really going to have to adjust to. And as Coach Brian Sofanowski said, it may have the band play during the entire time that they're on offense, because that's something apparently that the Fort Hill band does. Got to prepare for that. You know, Middletown was a great experience in the playoffs last year. Noise wasn't a factor because the fans were so far off the field. They had a track around the field. It might be different at Fort Hill. I don't know, but it could be. It could be. All right. Want to thank Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus East End and Suites presenting Overtime Live. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy studios. Queenstown Bank sponsored our halftime show. And your Pret & Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island. Want to thank Steve over at SFMSports.net for all they do. Have a great and safe week. Don't forget, I'm out with my Power Pulse Sunday morning, Sunday midday, OvertimeLive.net. And I'll be out with some comments, notes, early next week as well. And then we're back at it for picks next Thursday or Friday. And then our game of the week next Friday, Kent Island at Fort Hill. Have a great night. Go O's. We'll catch you next week. Signing off, Mike Bradley, Overtime Live, 94.3 Wings FM and SFMSports.net. We're back to regular programming. More of today's best music coming your way.